Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon.
Want dit nou, kan ek dit maar noem? Ek het hom nou vir jou gelees hierdie. Ek weet nie of jy nou hierdie ou ken nie. I can still remember when he, Rat, his brother Lou, and myself went to watch cricket at St. George's. We stayed over for the night at King Edward. Onthou jy waar, weet jy waar jy gaan nie? And had supper at the stage door. From there, we went to King's Beach, took his clothes off, and told us he was leaving for New Zealand. Other time, he walked from the Savoy Hotel to the farm, not well dressed. Yes, well, do you remember that? Who is that?
Yeah, look, I don't know who that is, but could it be quite a few people, you know? But yeah, those mad days, you know. I would have swum to New Zealand, obviously, because I was going off Pollock Beach then. Mm.
Oh, so whoever you are, anonymous, Ian remembers you. Yeah. Okay, jy gaan nou 'n likkie vir ons doen. Jy het jou backflakey. Wat noem hulle daai ding? 'N backflakey.
Ja, dit is 'n honer.
Ja.
Backflakey. En kyk, ek het gewoonlik nou hierdie nuut liedjie geskryf deur my neef Dan Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
Sy naam is The Crying Shame. Okay.
Hier gaan hy.
Always some asshole with a boop and a castle complaining about the price of diesel. Yes, he slacks on his drew horse and he says, yeah, boot, of course. And the news says it's a crying, it's just a crying, it's such a crying shame. Yeah, some new politico with his brand new NGO caught up to his armpits in the till. Smiles as he climbs into his Yangani bends with an armful of gun-toting friends. And the news says it's a crying, it's just a crying, it's such a crying shame. Maak my jags, maak my jags, maak my naar, maak my naar. Dis die landie van soen mekaar. Mag my jags, mag my jags, mag my naar, mag my naar. Is die landie van soen mekaar. Tax and a big cigar, a talk show, you better go far, you'll definitely make the news. In an instant you become a star, the gravy train will take you far. And the news says it's a crying, it's such a crying, it's just a crying shame.
Yes, hey.
Ja,
lekker jags vanavond.
Ja, maak my jags. That line comes from Rian Melanet. Maak my naar, oh, maak my jags. Die land die van soen mekaar.
Brilliant. Ian Roberts, hier so saam met my. Die mense, hulle SMS, hulle hou van jou. Hulle wil ook weet wat oor, wat nog met Gavin van der Berg. Het jy nog contact met Gavin van der Berg?
Ja, ek het bietjie contact met hom. Ek het gesien hom nou by die premiere van die movie wat hy gemaak het as 'n jong man. En ja, Gavin en ek was mos deur baie saam. Hy is baie spesiale mens vir my. En ja, ek sien uit om hom te sien een van die dae.
Nou vertel my, toe jy nou army gestudeer, bla bla bla, hoe het jy nou die eerste keer, was dit 'n TV show of 'n movie, hoe het jy nou, hoe het iemand jou nou gekontak, moet jy gaan audisie doen het, of hoe werk het?
Ja, dit is 'n hengse story. Ek het in 'n toneelstuk gespeel in Cape Town. Troop Theatre Company, Chinchilla, oor Diaghilev, Sergei Diaghilev, wat die Ballet Rus vir die eerste keer Europa toe geneem het, en sy story met Nijinsky en so aan. En the director was Richard E. Grant, and he cast all special actors, and they pulled out one by one. So eventually it was just me left in the cast. So he said, I've got to speak. It was always very melodramatic, you know. We've got to have a meeting. So we got to, what's that place in Cape Town, that main, where the Space Theatre was, Long Street. And he said, the cast has pulled out. You're the only member of the cast left. So I looked at this man. I thought, no, no, hang on. I said, Richard, just cast it on the street. I'm still in the play. And he cast. And Gavin van der Berg came in and played Nijinsky. But played him, because Gavin always had the most amazing body, strong and very well defined, you know. And he came and played this character who was the greatest, they say, the greatest ballet dancer of all time. So well that this whole play fell together. Now, I played a Frenchman called Gabriel Astruc, who was the financier of Diaghilev. I go in the dressing room afterwards, after one show, and this funny man in brown shoes, tan shoes, and a tan suit and tan everything with a beard came in, and he stood next to me and he said, I really enjoyed your play, you know. You transported me to Venice. And I thought, sure, that's amazing. Huh? And then he said, I'm doing a TV series, and there's a German in it. And I liked your German that you played, but meanwhile I was trying to do French, but I didn't say anything about it. So he offered me a role, and then, I don't know, I just made a decision. And I went home, and I thought, okay, that's it. I was working for KPAB as a mainstream actor there, and the Space Troop Theatre Company. And I phoned the boss of KPAB, and I said I want to resign, because I was due to do a big play called The Rainmaker there. And he said, if you've thought about it carefully and that's what you want to do, then we can still accommodate you and all that. And I went to that guy and I said, I'll do any job on your movie. He said, what can you do? This was Marnie van Rensburg. I said, I can do anything. I come from a farm. I can take engines out of cars. I can, you know, I just thought these are all things you must do on the crew of a movie. I said, I can do carpentry. I can paint things. And he said, okay, give me 3 days. So I waited. There were no cell phones. You had to wait at the phone. I waited from 8 to 5 for 3 days, and eventually the phone rang and he said, you can be the assistant to the production manager, who was Richard Green. And the two of us ran that movie with a guy called Moosey from Gansbaai. And then, okay, I was going to play this little role of a German. And then one morning, Marnie van Rensburg came to me and he said, Luister, who's your Afrikaans? He said, Gugom, why? He said, no, Henri Rousseau, one of our main actors, has got sick and he can't come to play, so would you like to try and play his part? And I said, yeah, I'll do, you know, obviously you, when you're a young actor, you'll do anything. I mean, I always said I'll play any language as long as the role's right. And I ended up playing. I had to wait for 3 days for the rushes to come back, and he would, after seeing the rushes, he would tell me whether I could take the job or not, and he said I can take the job. And that's how I got into film acting.
So that script that they gave you when you read through that, I mean, how do you, as a young actor, I mean, obviously while you're studying, and they teach you how to do that.
Yeah.
But if they give me a script like this,
yeah,
you know, and I go through it, and I have to, I can't remember my life. It's just one thing that I cannot do. How did you manage to do that? Did they teach you how to do it at Varsity? Or?
No, it's a technique you develop. Each person, I think, develops their own way. There's no, like, there's no class on how to remember lines. You don't get pulled in and then told, you know, like X, Y, Z.
Mm.
You develop your own technique. I've got my technique of remembering lines. If I'm learning a conversation with you, in other words, if you and I are playing a scene together, I won't hardly learn it. I'll read it. And then I'll sleep on it, and in the morning I'll do it with you. And then when the camera comes, that's it. So you don't actually learn them, because in your dialogue I'm picking up mine and vice versa. So, but when you get to exposition, like, that thing you held up now, that's not dialogue,
yeah,
that's exposition. That's very difficult. You have to learn that by using tags. What I do, I tag a thing. So if the line is, I'm talking to Barney Simon, he's got tan shoes and curly hair.
No, I know.
But if that's the line, then I will tag that to something. And then when you've got to come through with it, then you can remember it.
That's amazing. And also that you have to live into that character. So that German character, when you leave, you go home, do you become Ian Roberts again? Or do you, I've always wanted to ask this question. You know, you look at Egoli and all these characters in the street, people still think that's the person that, So, how do you switch off and you just become yourself again? Is it difficult or not?
It's difficult. If you're doing, I think actors struggle in relationships, for instance, because they go through different persona on their stage, like, you know, and then they get home and they've got a wife and kids, and now suddenly that's, you must just be yourself. But you've spent, I was once called vain by somebody. And I said to them without thinking, well, maybe if you had to make your living out of your face, you'd also appear vain. You know what I mean? And that's what we've got to do. Your ass is on the line, you know. You've got to go there. You've got to pull it off. In a movie, there's not time. So if you come there and you can't pull a scene, you've got a problem.
Because it's also, you must remember your lines, and then you still, your facial expressions, your body language. And for the benefit of people, how long does it take to make a movie? I mean, in one day, how many takes have you done? It takes hours and hours. And you think, oh, you just go there, you punch somebody and you go home and the movie comes out. It doesn't work like that, right?
Ironically, the more, for instance, that a director knows what he wants, the less work you got. It's clear. When a director doesn't know what he wants, it's hard work. And I've always found my most horrible moment, if I arrive on a long shoot, say the shoot's going 3 months, and I realize, hey, but there's a discrepancy here. This director, it's not clear what he wants, really, and it's going to be a grind, and it often is. But when you come there and someone is pretty clear about what they want, and you know what I find weird? The best directors speak the least.
May that be a lesson to directors.
Yeah, they speak the least.
Who's the best director you've ever worked with?
I've worked with some really inspiring people, you know, all in their own way. I liked working for different reasons with different directors. But I found one who was most a step ahead of the shoeshine, meaning that you could confront and have an argument on set and it wouldn't set anything off. There wouldn't be any bad vibes. We're talking about a product here. And it was Marnie van Rensburg.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he was a really... I remember once I did a big series with him called Heroes. And I played this Ossova Brandvach guy who also was a bit torn, you know. And I normally know what to do with a scene, you know. And you go day by day by day by day in art like this. And you're running a tight line, but I normally know what to do. And my night that before, I can feel it. This morning, I arrived at an old airfield outside Darling where there was this big scene set up. And I just didn't know what to do. And this man walks up to me, he says, Goeiemôre. I said, yeah, môre Marnie. He said, do you know what to do today in this scene? I said, I have not the faintest idea. He said, you're very lucky because I do. And that is the limit. And he said, I see you with a cigarette that you've rolled yourself walking up this fence. I'm going to hold you like this in the camera. And when you make your decision, you go and take Vertrot on there. That's how it's going to happen. And I said, thank you. Shh, 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 shh. Thank you. You know? So it's touch and go, man.
It's also a team effort. I mean, all the people behind the cameras, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Did you have your own little VIP section or did you hang out with everybody? You don't do the Hollywood thing, do you?
No, I run away mostly, especially if the set is noisy. I leave. But, you know, like take Dirk de Villiers now. There was a character fool. The man who directed Arendo, which was a monumental piece of work. He was completely noisy, you know. It was a big business going on here. And that also worked. It worked for the movie, you know. Sometimes different things work for different projects and that. You just got to be light on your feet as much as you can. I mean, most of us get to days when we're not light on our feet, when we're actually quite duck back, you know. And then you must change.
Immediately.
Yeah, because it's not the character, maybe.
Or don't take your problems at home to work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Luister, ons het nou twee keers as hier, so Lloyd Price, Stagger Lee, of wil jy Nick Cave in die Bad Seeds hoor, want dis een van die liekies. Daar's so baie kunstenaars wat daai liekie opgeneem het en so aan.
Stagger Lee.
Bob Dylan het ook, ja. So wat sê, wil jy Lloyd Price of Nick Cave in the Bad Seeds?
Ek Lloyd het nie Price. Die vaste idee nie, wat is die oudste een, want die Kossas het dit Stegeline gemaakt.
Lloyd Price, hy het nummer 1 gehad, kom ons luister
dan. Ja, asjeblief.
Ian Roberts in studio with me, another hour, we're still going to talk about all these movies, about the future of South Africa, as far as the music industry is concerned, and maybe you're a young actor and you want to make it big, how do you go about
the
that?
The night was clear, and the moon was yellow. And the leaves came tumbling down. I was standing on
Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon.